Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. So he's so struck with how merciful and gracious God is. He says, I could praise you for this forever and ever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy will be built up forever. Your faithfulness you will establish in the heavens itself. I've made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant. Your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Well, we know that in the end, the seed of David, who was going to have this everlasting throne or rulership or kingdom, was going to be Jesus. It wasn't Solomon, it was Jesus. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. So he's saying that the angels in heaven are going to be praising God for this, and also the believers here on earth. For who in the heaven can be compared unto Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty could be likened to Yahweh? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the holy ones, and to be respected by all those about him. So this is a picture of the court of heaven, where God is the king and the angels all around him praising him. And this is to be reflected on earth. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Yahweh like unto you, or to your faithfulness round about you? You rule over the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, you still them. You've broken the dragon in pieces. You've scattered your enemies with your strong arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. As for the world and the fullness thereof, you established it. You created the north and the south. Tabor and Hermon will rejoice in your name. It's the great mountains in Israel. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Justice and judgment are what you reign on. Mercy and truth will go before your face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They will walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence or your face. So it says at the end of Revelation that we will actually see God's face, and he will wipe away all tears from off our faces. So God is real. God is a personal being. All existence in the Bible is of a personal bodily nature, and God has a personal form and existence, and we will walk forever and ever in his presence. In your name shall they rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness they'll be exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favour, in your grace, our horn will be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then you spoke in vision to your Holy One, and you said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I anointed him. So you remember how Samuel went out looking for David, and Jesse, David's father, said, well, all my sons are here. And he said, no, none of them. They were strapping, good-looking, strong, handsome guys. He said, well, do you not have anyone else? And he said, well, yeah, there's little David. He's, you know, young David. He's just a kid, you know. He's out there looking after the sheep. And Samuel says, ah, bring him. And yes, God said, this is the one. So here God says, I have found David my servant. So God is in search of man. God is looking for people. It's not so much that we are looking for God or searching for God, but that God is looking for us and finds us, like the shepherd searching for the lost sheep until he finds it. And so everything that's happened in our lives is set up by God to lead us to that moment where he will find us. And of course, we do search for God. Everyone in their heart wants to find God, because we have that sense that he's our Father and we want to find him, but he's looking for us. And so when God and man meet, there's this wonderful electric sort of moment. That's why Jesus said, there's great joy amongst all the angels of heaven when one sinner repents. So he says, I have found David my servant, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not overcome him, nor the son of wickedness triumph over him. And I guess the son of wickedness was ultimately Saul and those who were trying to persecute David. And I will beat down his enemies before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy will be with him. And in my name, he and his name will be exalted. I will set his hand in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He will cry to me, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant will be confirmed with him. His seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven, that is, forever. So, I think this starts to go on from talking about David to talking about the great son of David. And ultimately, that is Jesus, because when the angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby, she says, and he is going to rule on the throne of his father or his ancestor David forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So these words are kind of applied by the angel to Jesus. And so when it says that he will cry to me, you are my father, my God, like you remember he says on the cross, my God, how have you forsaken me? And he would cry to me, he says, you are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn, higher than all kings of the earth. Well, this is Jesus it's talking about, the seed, the descendant of David. And I will make him my firstborn. So quite clearly, Jesus was the first of many children, and we are those later children of God. We have not only been adopted as adopted children, but God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we might cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. So, all this shows that Jesus did not exist physically before he was born, and clearly, he's not God himself. He calls out to God, you're my Father, you are my God, you're the rock of my salvation. In other words, his salvation, ultimately from death itself in the resurrection, came from God. If his children forsake my law and don't walk in my judgments, if they break my commands, then will I punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with beatings. But my loving kindness will I not completely take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn in my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed will endure for ever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established for ever like the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. So, in the end, this all came true in Jesus, and we can look back and we see that. But until Jesus was born in the Old Testament times, that was not completely clear. God appeared to be saying to David that you will have children, and your throne, your kingdom, your descendants are going to keep on reigning over Israel forever. But actually, that didn't happen immediately, because the Jews were taken into captivity, and the royal descendants of David were killed and or taken into exile, and there was no king reigning in Jerusalem. Now, in the end, these promises came true in Jesus. But the people at the time didn't know that, and so they, because Jesus didn't exist then, and so they struggled to understand these promises, and so the tone of the psalm changes a bit now. But you have cast off, you have been angry with your anointed, you've made void the covenant of your servant, that's your servant David. You've profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You've broken down all his hedges. You've brought his strong cities to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He's a reproach to his neighbours. You've set up the right hand of his enemies. You've made all his enemies rejoice. You have turned the edge of his sword, and you've not made him to stand in the battle. You've made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened, you've covered him with shame. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Why have you made all men in vain? So whoever's writing this psalm is sort of panicking a bit, saying, oh, but the promises aren't being fulfilled as I imagine they should be. Come on, God. Well, we should learn the lesson because, sure, God's promises were not coming true as this person who's writing the psalm imagined they should, because Israel had sinned and because Solomon and the later descendants of David had turned away from the true God. But the promises were going to come true in the end because Jesus was going to be born and he would have the eternal kingdom. So we mustn't panic thinking that, oh, God's not answering, God's not coming through as I expected. And the writer goes on, what man is he who lives and will not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Again, you see how the soul is not immortal. And it's true that no man lives and doesn't die. We shall all see death. We shall all die. But that doesn't mean God's not going to fulfill his promises. What this psalmist is not seeing so much is the resurrection of the body, which is the clear implication of the promises to David, because David died. He didn't see his son becoming like this, but he will. But it will be when David is resurrected. Lord, where is the great loving kindness you showed in the past, which you swear to David in your truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I do bear in my heart the reproach of the mighty, wherewith your enemies have reproached, O Lord. They have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. But blessed be Yahweh forevermore. Amen and amen. So I think you see here a man who can't understand it, who says, look, you promised all this blessing. It's not happening. But I don't understand why it's not happening, but I praise you. And that's how he finishes the psalm. Now, we, from our point of view in history, can look back and say, ah, yes, it wasn't fulfilled in the way this man expected. Sure, the descendants of David were killed and his throne, his kingdom was cast down, but that's all going to come true in the end because Jesus is the great descendant of David and he will have an eternal kingdom. And yet, this person is writing the psalm very commendably, right at the end of it says, okay, praise the Lord anyway. And Habakkuk is like this. He's a later prophet. He says, well, even if there isn't going to be the fruit and the blessings that I expected that there ought to be, I'm not having the great life that I think that I and Israel should have, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And this is how we should be, that if you trust God, and this is what faith is, to trust. If you trust God, well, you will not be fazed by the fact that things don't work out as you expect, because they often don't. In fact, in everybody's life, things don't work out as they could have done, even as they should have done. But that's okay, because we trust in God that he has a longer-term purpose. And that purpose is, in the end, only to do us good and to save us.